Thanks for joining us on Imagine Yourself, where we help you imagine the next chapter of life with grace, gratitude, courage, and faith.
Welcome to Imagine Yourself. I'm Lene here with Sandy. And today we've got love is in the air type of mentality. We are just really talking about relationships in general. In fact, we're going to end up giving three keys to relationship success. But we are also building off of the previous episode, which was called Heart to Heart, Communication Tips for Couples with relationship coach Monica Humphrey. And then we're also even going to share a few things that we have learned and implemented based on the last episode in our own relationship success. So we are ready to just drop these three keys to success, and we just hope that it helps.
Yeah, I love this three keys thing because we're taking some knowledge from Monica Humphrey and our last episode, The Relationship Coach. We're taking some knowledge. I'm going to throw in some things that I read from some other counselors. And of course, like you said, we've got a real life experience. But when you can think of them in these three different ways, you know, you may feel like you need to focus on one or all of them, but I love it. So let's jump into the first key, which has to do with communicating.
So here's my key. I really loved when Monica Humphrey taught us that it is really important to understand, as much as talking is important when you're communicating, because that's the first thing most people, you know, come to mind. Oh, I want to make sure that I talk and express myself and share. Listening is the other component of communication that can be overlooked. And we want to make sure that we don't do that. You know, she wanted to make sure that we have a practice of quality, present, active listening, especially when we are communicating with our significant other. And that is one that I really had to take to heart. So,
yeah, I mean, especially because we have the tendency to just wait for our turn to talk, right? I mean, that's probably true in any communication, but it's especially important to listen in this relationship context to what our husband, partner, whatever has to say.
Yeah, crucial. So yeah, what did you have for your key when it comes to a new way of communicating?
Well, I first will say Monica had some great ideas, but I wanted to look into this a little bit further. And I found an article, of all places, CNBC. That's like a money website, but sometimes they have other stuff. And this was from Dr. John Gottman and his wife, Dr. Julie Schwartz Gottman. And they came up with these, I don't know, five or six things that were important to communicating. I'm just going to give you the one because I had never heard this one before. And it's called getting to the yes. And it's something where when you want to validate your partner or meet them halfway, in other words, compromise. So recognize what they're saying and saying, oh, I see that point. That kind of makes sense to me. Or things like, I never thought of things that way. Even if you don't really come to the same conclusion, you want to acknowledge to your partner that you at least understand what they're saying and that you're hearing that it's important to them. That happens a lot of times. I've had that happen in discussions / arguments or whatever, is even if I don't agree, I'll say, okay, I can see where you're coming from. And knowing my husband, I would say, I can see how he could think that, even though I wouldn't think that, because people are coming from two different places.
I like that. And I've actually never heard that before either. It really does, at least it kind of resets, you know, the slate, I feel like, to make sure that you're at least going to meet the person halfway. And I think that's very much appreciated.
Because it doesn't have to be we have so much of a, I'm going to win this argument and I do it. I'm right. You're wrong. But can it possibly be the case that, you know, you're half right, or at least he's 20% right, even if it's 5%, you know?
Yeah. And because everyone's wired differently, it's good to kind of make note of that too. Like you said, you know his personality and you do see why he came to that particular conclusion, and you know your personality and see why you wouldn't come to that conclusion, but you're still trying to meet each other a little bit in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be the way of communicating. Do you have anything else on that topic, or are we ready to move on to key number two?
Key number two, a new way of doing things, like actually doing things differently with your partner.
Okay, so it can be not just communicating, but also just the way of doing things like action stuff.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you know how people say that there's nonverbal communication, there's ways that you can show, don't tell, and you're still kind of communicating that message over. This is the one I liked because, now I don't know if my husband's going to like this, but I promise I am going to try my best to make him try this.
Okay. Yeah. So we're getting a little preview right here.
Exactly. So just wait till he hears this episode. But yeah, so Monica Humpel, at the time she was talking about when people are having an argument, and she wanted to make sure that you can do certain things to help things simmer down to a less volatile level. And she mentioned this little exercise you could do, but I don't want to do it as far as an argument. I wanted to tweak it and make it my own and do something where we're showing gratitude towards one another. And she had mentioned that you get with your partner, you sit knee to knee, and you hold hands, and you're eye to eye, and you set a timer for like 5 minutes, which you hope anybody can make it through 5 minutes of this little exercise. And you sit, and the one I want to do, instead of arguing mechanisms, I want to sit and share verbally all the things that I'm grateful for this wonderful person, my wonderful spouse. And I would love to hear all the things that he's grateful for. But that's what I want to do. That's my second key of what I want to do differently in a new way as I communicate with my husband.
I love it. And Monica was saying, yeah, you do it in the case of an argument just to calm tensions, but you're saying taking it to a whole new level. And I can imagine that that can really bring you closer. And this isn't my key action step, but I just kind of wanted to bounce off what you said. Praying together with your spouse is also something that's can be very intimate and very, you know, and obviously spiritual and just very good. I mean, we're supposed to do that, right? Pray with our spouse. But if you could make it kind of like you're saying, make it a thing for 5 minutes, or I mean, you don't have to set a timer. I would feel like that would be weird if you were setting a timer and praying, but something like that, saying, hey, before we go to sleep at night or in the morning or, you know, whenever it's convenient, let's take 5 minutes. So that was one, too. That was the one I kind of wanted to add to what you said. But as far as actions go, and this doesn't really have anything to do with communicating, but it's more of an action of doing small things for each other. It doesn't have to be any grand gesture, but like pay attention to what your spouse likes. And if you've been married a long time, you probably don't even have to pay attention. You already know. For instance, my husband knows I like particular salad at J. Alexander's. He has it written down, the kind of salad it is, in his phone. And now and again, he'll surprise me with a salad. Or something I did, well, this, it was for Valentine's Day. So, but it could be any time. We don't really spend a lot of money and time on Valentine's Day, but I did want to acknowledge, like, you know, happy Valentine's Day. So I just got a little gift bag of stuff I knew he liked that was very personal, like, you know, cheese popcorn and Reese's, and it wasn't all food. Not that I wanted to eat any of that.
No, it was for him.
It was for him, of course. I had no motivation. But I'm just saying, do little things, or it doesn't even have to be like getting something for someone. It could be making someone coffee or dinner or breakfast or doing their chores that, you know, because they're busy, or if they're having a particularly hard time at work, cover things and don't even say anything about it. Just kind of cover things.
I really love that. See, both of the things, all the things that we mentioned in this little key of doing things, to me, are beautiful and loving and fortifying for our relationship. And there's so many times where we might do some of these nice little sweet things, especially like you said, like getting a little gift bag with things that they like or little treats for a friend of ours or our kids or something like that. But we don't want to assume that our significant others don't want that same type of little cute, loving thing too. They'll appreciate it as well.
Oh, very much so. And a lot of times it is the thought that counts. That's a cliche, but it truly, in most cases, the more you're thinking about, hey, the other person likes this, it just says, I'm thinking about you. I care about you. I want to make you happy. And what else, you know, what do we want? We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to know that we're loved and respected. And that goes across, you know, both men and women and just people, right?
Yeah, it is just, we don't want to make sure that this doesn't become a lost art, you know, just of nice, you know, gratitude, appreciating, doing loving things. I love that one. Which moves us along to our third and final key, a new way of thinking.
Mm.
That's the deeper one, because, you know, a new way of communicating, a new way of doing things, a new way of thinking. And I kind of struggled with this one because I was at first kind of like, I think the way I think, this is the way I am, this is who I am, this is how I'm wired, until my husband and I got this little app on our phones, and it's called Evergreen, the Evergreen app. And it does cost money. So, and I'm not doing a commercial for them because they don't even know I'm doing this, but
is it like a one-time thing or is it a monthly?
It's, you can set it up as monthly or annual. I did it for the whole year and I love it. And my husband loves it. Now he loves electronics, period. So I wonder if he likes it for that reason. I love it for all the creative little inspirations it gives, but every single day it gives you, you and your partner, a kind of reflective question to answer. One of the answers it's going to share, and it'll tell you which one it is, but it will share with your partner. The other one is meant for you to keep privately to reflect upon yourself. So it does the whole gamut. That's what I say, a whole new way of thinking. It makes you think because you're sitting there, not that it takes a long time. It's a simple question. It'll be something like, if you and your partner were going to cook a meal together, a romantic meal together, what would you want it to be? And so you know, list the foods. Or it could be, what's something that your partner does that drives you crazy, like in a good way or bad way? I guess, you know, and they'll preface which way, you know, drives you crazy in a good way, drives you crazy in a bad way. They do try to keep it positive, though, to be fair. So the one that's like what makes you frustrated, they might keep that one private. But the one that, that, you know, that you really like that they do, they share that answer with your partner. And it just kind of gives a little spark or reminds them, hey, this is what she said she liked on that app. You know, it'll say, you know, if you all wanted to have a romantic getaway, where would you want to go? And that one would be shared as well. Versus some of the more thoughtful ones that you do your inner reflection and inner thinking are things more like, growing up as a child, who was one of your biggest mentors that taught you about the goodness of life? So it just, to me, all I needed is that app. Each morning I do it, and then I get excited to see when it alerts me that my husband has done his also. And it really does activate a new way of thinking for me.
Wow. That's an excellent idea, because people have these busy schedules. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, all communication is through the app. And I know it's not in your case.
Nope.
But what a way to spark conversation and to get into your partner's head in the middle of the day or vice versa. I love that. Evergreen.
Yeah.
You know what we'll do? We'll post a link to that on our blog page and maybe even in the show notes. Because, yeah, I know that I definitely want to look into that. Yeah, that is a new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So check us out on imagineyourselfpodcast.com. We will put that right in there and you can see what you think.
Yeah. So I'm going to bounce off a little bit of what Monica said on our last episode. When we think of filters, sometimes we think of Instagram filters, speaking of technology, but actually she talks about looking at or reacting to what our partner says and does through a filter, the never and the always. If someone does something negative, she used the clean your garage example, like if a husband and wife or a wife has been asking her husband to clean the garage and for how many weeks he doesn't do it, and then she walks in and he's not doing it again on a Saturday, he's watching football. So it's the filter of, he never does what I said. I don't know if you think he's lazy or he's this or he's that. But instead, look at it through, oh, I wonder why he hasn't done it. Maybe he's been really busy at work, or maybe da-da-da-da. So that was one of the examples. It's just the filter of assuming motive, I guess. Is that a way of...
You want to start thinking about your spouse as someone that you want to think the best about them, instead of when you find yourself thinking the worst and always does something that aggravates me or never does what I want. She really tries to discourage us from that and swing our thinking around to, well, let's give the benefit of the doubt. Goodness.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it goes both ways. And sometimes, okay, let me flip it just a little bit. Let's say I'm cleaning up after dinner, but I'm really tired and I don't have time to wipe the counter. Just example. But I'm going to do it because I don't want my partner to think I'm lazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why did I have that thought? That's the thought in my head. Why am I assuming that he's going to think I'm lazy if I don't wipe the counter? So it kind of goes both ways. You're not only assuming something about what they're thinking, you're assuming that they're thinking something about you.
See, and then you've gone down a whole rabbit hole of stuff that never even happened or never even got thought. Because you're right, Sam. How about this? I love to think people would see me as, well, Lene is a reasonable person. And I want to try to make sure that I think the same thing about myself and about my spouse. You know, he's a reasonable person. There is very likely a reasonable answer to why he did or did not do A, B, or C. But sometimes all it takes is just a moment to step back for just a second, reframe it, rethink it, and say, I do know this person is a reasonable person. He doesn't always do stuff wrong, and I don't always do stuff wrong. We sometimes mess up because we're human, but it just gives a little grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I think. Give it a little grace and get rid of all that always and never.
Get rid of all the always and never. As Monica Humple said, you know, we live in the gray. It's
yes.
It's never, never, or always. Wait a
exactly.
minute.
Exactly. It's never, never. Yeah.
Or very rarely. And then, you know, tying into that too, it's just putting the other person first whenever you can. And that's biblical. And even in, you know, the famous love passage that people often have at their wedding, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
I love that. Oh, we need to say that more often. It's not just during weddings.
Yeah, keeping that in mind. And trying to believe the best and put the other person first as much as you can.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's going to be situations when someone's clearly wrong and we're not talking about smoothing over toxic behavior or things that are unacceptable. So, you know, just putting that out there too. And communication, you know, therapy is very helpful too. An app is great. That really scratches my itch, as they say, you know,
yeah.
An app would be perfect for me. But for some people, I think actually going to see somebody and talking it out is going to be the way to go.
Yeah. And we learned that even from relationship coach Monica Humple. Also, that's what she does for a living, is tries to help couples or individuals find their way through some of the really rocky parts that are not working when you're just doing it on your own.
Yeah.
So all this to say, we hope and believe that you all will be able to take these three keys as far as communicating, ways of doing things, ways of thinking, and really transform your relationships, your lives. Overall, we just say, imagine yourself embracing love for yourself, for others, for your significant other, all the beautiful things. Really start to see the beauty of love.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with us on Imagine Yourself podcast. As always, we'd love to hear your thoughts, appreciate a review, a rating. You can do that right in the app. You can email us at imagineyourselfpodcast.com or hit us up on social media. All the links in the show notes. And we'll be sure to post a link to that app that Lene was talking about, and I'll link you up to the study I was referring to if you want more tips, as well as the episode with Monica Humple, which was right before this one, but we'll put a link to that too. Just go to imagineyourselfpodcast.com and check out the blog that goes with this episode, and you'll find all the information. Or look for a direct link in the show notes.